Sunday, 20th October, Cezanne Keshla, to the show of Honda, and Uzi Pashas Kapo. This week will be sponsored by Family Players, for the customer of the union players.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. An oily kashrus topic. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make exactly what that means. But let's go. I'm working in kashrus. Why does one need a hechsher on normal sunflower, canola, or you call it rapeseed, cooking oil? So we're going to do this Rosha in three sections. We're going to give the practical area, how oil is made in a quick version. Then we're going to go to halacha, and then we're going to see how we can kasher a plant. We'll try and get this all in half an hour. Let's take sunflower. Normally they take the sunflower seeds from the farm. They take it to a crushing plant where they crush it and extract the oil. They press the seeds and oil comes out. This oil is b'chlal not edible. It's smelly and a liquid, dark liquid, sort of brown, yellow, dark liquid, thicker liquid. They go from this crushing plant, one goes over to a refining plant. In the refining plant, there are three stages. They call it an alkaline refinery, where they add an alkaline solution, which is heated quite hot. And then from there they go to a bleaching. A bleacher is they add clay and earth and clay in order to filter it and to bleach it out, that should come to a clear, yellowy color like we see in the bottles. However, this oil is still smelling, has a bad odor from the sunflower seeds. So it goes to a deodorizer, which is actually a high six stages of plates, where they deodorize the oil, where they heat it up to about 700 degrees Celsius. And after that, the oil comes out of the deodorizer, there's no more smell, and it's a clear oil, which is ready for cooking, and then they get it bottled, and we won't go into that at the moment. The question is, do factories do anything else besides sunflower oil or rapeseed oil? Now, in the crushing, normally they only do one type of oil, they only do vegetable oils, because vegetable oils all have the same crushing from the beginning, the same extraction system. Animal fats cannot be crushed or cannot be extracted in the same way, so that part of the plant is always 100% kosher. So therefore, if you would buy an unrefined, undeodorized oil, you will have no problem with kashrus. However, your wife will not be happy at all, and your kegel will not be tasting anything good, and I don't think you'll enjoy it. When we come to the refinery area, there, animal fats can be refined the same way. It goes through a bleaching, it goes through an alkaline refinery, and it goes through a deodorizer. And we can have a problem. Today they've made treif, tomorrow they've made kosher. And as you know, as everybody knows, oil is a greasy product. In order to get it clean, we're not speaking about kashering, let's just get clean, is quite difficult. And then we'll go into detail in a minute how to clean and how we have cleaned two massive oil refineries in Europe, which has taken us, one oil refinery took us 7 weeks to kasher. An oil refinery is not a small little kitchen. An oil refinery has tanks, which we are speaking about, tanks which have a capacity of 30,000 liters to 60,000 liters. We even have one tank which has a capacity of 100,000 liters. In order to clean that and to kasher it, it does not take 3 hours. Let's first go into the halacha, a few halachas, and then we'll go into the practical side of the kashering. There's a Ramban in Chulin Daf Kuf Ches, which says only water has an ability to be maflit a tam from a keli. Sham ashkin, like oils, they are mavliya into a keli. If you have a treifa and oil, it'd be mavliya into a keli, but you cannot kasher with oil. As I said, the Ramban. However, the Trubus HaRashban Chedek Aleph, Simon Tof Gimel, he says all liquids can accomplish Hagola. So if you have a liquid oil, we can be magil a tank with oil. As I said, the Rashba. The Ochas Chaim and Hilchas Chomet, Simon Tzadik Bey, says, Rechatchila, one should kasher only with water. But the Evet, Shamashkim is okay. And the Ramon or Chaim Tofnun Beis in Hilchas Pesach Paskin Zag the Ochas Chaim that it's only by the Eved with Shamashkin, the Chatchila we should do with water. Normal kashas, a serious kashas agency would like to do the Chatchila, and where possible only does with water. We have another Shaila where the steam. We can kasher with steam. But I'm sure you understand to fill up a tank with 50,000 liters of water and then to heat it. The filling takes time, but the heating of water can take even longer. Sigon Igris Moish and Chelek Aleph Simon Samach. He says it's questionable whether steam has the ability to be maflit, the tam. Therefore, the Igris Moish paskens, the steam is not allowed to be used for kashering. However, the Rabbonim, and with the Haskoma of the Igris Moish, say that if you make the steam so long that it produces hot condensate on the walls for a long time, and that the walls are covered with the wet condensate, then we can call that enough hagola, and it's okay, it's not called steam anymore, it's called water. And we have one more shaila, pipes. Because as you can understand, when you come from one tank to another tank, it's not that you have somebody there emptying the oil in a pot and going to the next pot. This all goes automatically. The person in the computer room, in the room there with all the computers, presses a button, a valve opens, and the oil goes from one place to another. How can one kasher pipes? Or how can one make sure a pipe is clean? And the Morgan of Rome and Erechaim Simen Tofnum Beis says one should not kasher pipes because one cannot scrub the inside. One cannot make sure it's clean. We paskin that this Morgan of Rome, which is in Hilchas Pesach, is only a chumer of Pesach, because Pesach is also b'mashu. A chumer is also b'mashu on Pesach, and therefore we do not rely on Kederach HaMenachrim. However, all year round, we say we rely on Kederach HaMenachrim, and even though we can't get into every little crook and nook of the pipe, nowadays, there is what they call a CIP. That's a cleaning in place, which is also with the press of a button. It's all on the system, automated cleaning system, which works with boiling hot water, with caustic soda, and with ash and everything. Therefore, we paskin that after a CIP cleaning, we can say it's a kederach hamanakrim and it's clean enough. That's a gab of the cleaning. But how does one kasher a pipe? Is a pipe a keli rishon or a keli sheni? We all know a keli rishon is what's on the fire, and a keli sheni is what's off the fire. However, there is a Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Mem on the base says, what's the difference between a keli rishon and a keli sheni? It says a keli sheni, the walls of the keli sheni are cold and can cause the contents of the keli to cool down. It's tfanis makararis. Whereas a keli rishon has the hot walls that retain the heat, and therefore it can cause bishul. What are the pipes? Lemaisa, these oil factories are working 24 hours a day, almost 7 days a week normally, and hot oil going through the whole time, the tfanis are not makararis anymore. They are boiling hot tfanis. Therefore, even though it's not mamish on the fire, we are choishish to the Tosfos and Shabbos, which is a keli rishon. If we're going to have a shaila, how can we kasher it? To kasher with hot water, just going through 1 minute or 2 minutes after you had a 24-hour downtime on a cold pipe, you're not going to get a keli rishon. You got tfanis makararis. So therefore, we paskin in order to be able to kasher these pipes after they've been cleaned. They have to allow this hot, boiling hot water to go through for about half an hour to 45 minutes. And then the mashgiach goes and feels the pipes on the outside. Once he sees that it's hot, then we say it's called a keli rishon, and there's no Mutfanes Makareres. Now let's go to a bit of practicality. As I said, we've kashered two massive refineries. Both these refineries actually used to make tallow and lard, which is mamish animal chaza fats. Okay, they had the storage tanks, two storage tanks where the raw tallow or the raw lard was dedicated, but then they had common pipes and common storage tanks for afterwards, which meant the whole factory is chaza treif. And any oil coming out of there, whether it's vegetable oil or chaza oil, was all chaza treif. And therefore we had to kasher it. Of course, a factory, in order to kasher, a factory is not going to allow us to shut down the whole factory for 5 weeks or for 3 weeks or even for 2 weeks and to lose customers from all their other oils. So this all has to be done in stages. We started, of course, from the first storage tank of the tallow. They actually got in an external cleaning company, which took them 3 days just to clean the tanks, two tanks which are used for tallow, fat and everything. We had a mashgiach there at the end of the 3 days. The company called them, we're ready to inspect. We came. There were a few things that had to be redone, because what the goy calls clean and what we call clean is not always the same, and normally not the same. It took time. They agreed they wanted to get this done properly. This is a big company, it's not a small company, it's a very big company, and they said, we want to have this kosher, and they realized we are serious. If they realize we are serious, then they go serious as well. If you just come and say it's okay, then the next stage is they won't be interested either. And we got it clean. And how do we kasher such a tank, as you asked? So, with these large tanks, we were soimach on the Igros Moshe, which says that condensate, as long as it's a long time, steam with a long condensate is enough for, it's called water, not shamashkim or anything. So what we did is we put steam in, or the company put steam in at the bottom of the tank, allowed steam to go in at the bottom, and we had a small bucket of water at the top. And we measured, the wrong way around. We had steam going in at the top, and we had a small bucket of water at the bottom. And we didn't stay there. The mashgiach it wasn't necessary for him to stay there because it took hours and hours, and it took 24 hours. We told the company to measure the water in the bucket, which came from the steam condensate. Once it's 96 Celsius, we'll send the mashgiach over. This company, this factory, was actually only 45 minutes from Antwerp, where we had the Yiddish Yeshua. We had mashgiach ready on call. And it would be more than 24 hours till they called us and said, we think it's ready. Mashgiach came, and it was taka, there was condensate all over, it was wet, all the walls were wet, and the temperature in the small bucket, which came from the steam condensate, the bucket was empty when we left, which came from the steam condensate was 96 Celsius, and we saw there was steam all over. These tanks are outside, so it's not a fire hazard so much, that there's steam all over the place. We did this not for one tank, not for two tanks. We did this for about 10 or 15 tanks. So, of course, the company goes in stages. They can't close up all tanks. They went in stages. Of course, for the moment, nothing was kosher. The pipes as well. For the pipes, we had to have mashgiach there, b'shas masa, so that mashgiach sees that the hot water is going through, and he checked all the pipes to make sure they are boiling hot, that there's no tfanis makareres. The hardest part, but the deodorizer. And a deodorizer which heats the oil at 700 degrees, as we said, and it has six plates, large plates, about three floors of a normal, not even a normal English house, I would say a normal Belgian house, which is taller. Those are sticky, though these deodorizers never get cleaned, normally. Factory works 24 hours, 7 days a week. These deodorizers never get cleaned. So you can imagine what it was to clean. There was rust. As it says in Halacha as well, rust is a problem for kashering because the rust is a sort of a cover on the metal, and therefore the Hagola does not work through the rust. We had to make sure the rust was taken away. They called us once, and they called us twice. On the third time, we said it's clean. We can now go and kasher with boiling hot water. Normally we say by kashrin kabole kachpoltoi, so therefore don't think that we managed to get water up to 700 degrees, because that's impossible, as you all know. But the halacha is boiling water. If you're kashrin with water, boiling water is enough, so we got it up to 99, 100 C, and that was enough for kashrin. The next stage is storage tanks, where you have oil in the storage tanks. That once the deodorized oil is ready, they have to store it in storage tanks. These storage tanks do not have any heat. There's no way of heating up heat. The only possibility was with live steam. Here we had we were matter a bit to use sham ashkim, to use oil, which was coming from the kashered line already. Why did we say that? Because lemaisa it was only a keli sheni, because there was no heat on it. It's only a storage tank from a keli sheni, and there was also chanan there because it was not banat. Because lemaisa in these tanks, these storage tanks, there was never any actual chazat reif. The only thing is these vegetable oils had gone through pipes, which had chazat reif in, which these pipes were always cleaned. Between tallow and vegetable. So therefore we said, because it's only nat banat, and it's a keli sheni, we were allowed with the poskim, we used poskim from, even poskim from the Eda Haredis were involved in this company, because we knew they were going to use it afterwards. They allowed us to kasher these storage tanks, which were only used after nat banat, with filling up a bit higher than the normal oil level, where they always use it, and 5 degrees hotter than the oil is normally kept, and therefore we were allowed to kasher it that way. But all the rest of the factory was kasher with boiling hot water, 24-hour downtime to make sure there's no sentan ifgam, and there was a kasher lemahadrin plant. We had two plants like this. So if somebody says to you in the shop, it's cheaper and non-kosher, oil without a hechsher, against an oil with a hechsher, that's true, it could be cheaper. But lemaisa is there are problems. We've seen it two times. We've kashered plants, and I've been into other plants where they have chazat reif and where there is contamination, and you cannot say that it's vegetable oil, it's 100% vegetable oil. You see sometimes on bottles trans fat or hydrogenated oils. What is that? Trans fat or trans fat free? Or what's a hydrogenated oil? Trans fat and hydrogenated are exactly the same thing. They mean the same. Trans fat, it's made when manufactured, they add hydrogen to vegetable oils. Why does one add hydrogen to vegetable oil? Because the hydrogen just increases the shelf life and the stability. It will cause the oil not to, sometimes you see with grape juice as well, you see that the sediments fall to the bottom. The hydrogen allows the shelf life to be much longer, and it allows it to be clear and there's no sediments at the end. Tallow and lard are also most times hydrogenated. So if you have a hydrogenated oil, it's very possible that you're going to have tallow in. It's been made in a tank that was made with chazafat or with tallow. That's basically the oily way. If we're speaking a bit about kashrus, anybody have any questions on
what makes them agree to all your requirements? Why are they interested? They have to do it.
Money, customers. They have customers all over the world who need kasher. And they know it.
You spoke about sunflower oil.
Yes.
What about all the other oils?
Okay, somehow rapeseed oil is the same thing. All these vegetable oils. Okay, olive oil is different. Olive oil is basically a cold pressing olive oil, which is done in, if we're not talking about refined, normally the olive oil that we use, that we see in the shops, and that we use is a crude oil, actually. Olive has a different, does not have such a strong taste. It's a raw oil. And as I said, just like a crude or raw vegetable oil is no problem. Olive oil is basically just olives crushed, not even heated normally. It's a cold press. Extra virgin is a cold press, and then there's definitely no problem. Any refined vegetable oil can. I'm not saying it's always a problem. There are many factories, as you said, we've kashered two factories, and now they're fully kosher. These factories don't do it every year. Once they're kosher, they stay kosher. Yeah. It takes 6-7 weeks. They're not going to do this every year. These two factories that we did, they stayed kosher, and we have a mashgiach going in there regular intervals without telling them that we're coming. We call it Yoitz V'Nichnas, and they stay kosher the whole year. No factory's going to do this every second week or every second month. What?
But they still make trefin oil.
No, these two companies are not. We stopped them making trefin oil. They moved the trefin oil to another plant. They have this amazing, this massive company. It's called Cargill. It's a massive company. They have many plants, and they first moved for their trefin oil from Germany to Belgium. So we captured the one in Hamburg, which is in Germany. And then about 2 years later, they decided they need their oil from Belgium, also kosher, because they have many customers. So they've moved it totally to a separate plant, which only makes trefin oil. So now these two plants are fully kosher. Pardon? Cargill, what? Beide than Cargill, yeah.
We don't have another brand that does kosher oil.
We do. There are other brands who are doing kosher oil. ADM, there's many plants doing kosher. I'm saying there are many plants who are fully kosher. I'm just saying we have to know. I mean, you can't just go into the shop and say, okay, this is vegetable oil, it's kosher. It can be problematic. That's what we have in Mashgiach. They're checking up the... We don't have it every day there, but they don't do it. They're not interested either. And we have Mashgiach there, Yoitz V'Nichnas, regularly to check the paperwork, to check what's coming in, what's going on. Basically, most vegetable oils are kidneys. Okay, now I don't know what sunflower oil here in England, what it is. 20 years ago, it wasn't kidneys. I don't know what it is today, but we won't go into that now. I'm not going. It's a totally different subject. Whether if oil is kidneys or not, I'm not. The road tankers is a totally separate subject. I was hoping not to speak about that today, but if you've mentioned it, I will speak about it. Most plants do not even have a bottling area in their factory. What they do is they make this deodorized refined oil, and then they send it out 25,000 liters by road, either to a bottling facility, where they bottle it into 1 liters or 5 liters or whatever, or they send it, most often they send it to the next customer, which is another factory who needs it to make his cakes or make his biscuits or to make his ice creams. How does it go from one place to the other? It goes in a road tanker. Road tankers are a bit of a mesupikdika. I mean, there's machlokes in how we reckon a road tanker. What most European hasharim do at the moment is they rely on the washing facilities to tell us what was in there the last 3 times. What was in these road tankers the last 3 times? We check the paperwork, of course, and if the last 3 times it was kosher product, like either vegetable oil coming, we know where it's coming from, or as long as there wasn't any milk or wine, if there was vinegar, knowing it comes from a kosher vinegar place, or juices, fruit juices, not grape juice, we rely that this is yotzer milu, like a milu ve'iro kashering. We also ask, normally every road truck company has a washing facility where they wash it with boiling hot water. They don't fill it up. They spray ball boiling hot water around the tank, making steam. It gets a bit of condensate. Together with the 3 previous loads and the steaming, together with the shikl, the head of Reb Moshe, to say that it's if there's condensate, even though we don't see it, because we're not there each time by the washing facility, we rely that it's being washed with condensate. We are soymich on the last 3 loads and their own cleaning. They have codes. Every washing facility have the same codes. They call it a P26, which is that they've put, as you see on quite often on these cleaning service, the cleaning companies, they have P26, and then a note behind it says kosher cleaning. They know exactly what we want as well already now, most companies in Europe. So we rely on that. There are one or two of the more stricter hechsherim who have mashkichim the whole time from beginning to end. Then the mashkich goes there and makes sure that it's washed properly, and that it depends of what it is.
It's cold anyhow.
It's not cold.
No, the cold, the transportation.
The transportation, first of all, it can be heated. Quite often it's heated, especially if it's, okay, a sunflower does not need to be heated. But we're speaking about palm fat oil or oil to make margarine. It needs to be heated. And second of all, sometimes we're going from Germany all the way up to Spain or up to Denmark, where it can be 24 hours, and if you've got a problem of kovash.
Why does the water in the bucket at the bottom of the tank only have to be 96?
No, it has to be up above 96. Above 96.
Why not 100?
It's quite hard to get 100. And 96 is more, it's because we're saying that it's the bucket is not the actual water which we've been catching, it's a condensate. It's already cooled down the walls as well. So we are now above 96.
Since it's open service, will it be there any problem with Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos, making on Shabbos?
I can't hear, I didn't answer.
Will they make the oil, this oil on Shabbos?
They're not making it for you. These companies are working 24/7. They're definitely not making it for us. We don't even know who they're selling to. They could be selling to non-kosher factories as well. These non-kosher factories don't even sometimes sell them, they want kosher. It's not that they're making us a batch. In Nochnami, if they were making for us a 50-ton batch, especially for us, going to a Yiddish company, then could be a problem. But these companies, they're just carrying on, continuing. Could be today the tank will go out today for us, or it could be the tank going out tomorrow. They're not making it for the Eden. They want their factory kosher. It's become kosher. Now they know they can sell whenever they receive a request for kosher. We do not need to check if it was made on Shabbos or not.
Isn't what's left in the non-supervised oil from the previous manufacturing runs, is that not bottled b'shishim?
It can be both for Shishmi. You got to. Would you go home?
I'm just saying, I'll be a locker.
Yeah, but it's on a treif and a keli. I'm not speaking about the mamoshes. Let's say the mamoshes is okay. Let's say we say it's bottle b'shishim. But you made a treif and a keli, which made yesterday treif. You're boiling hot, cooking at 100 degrees or 700 degrees. You got bleeds coming out. That's always. Would you take a treif and a keli, take it from your neighbor, a treif and a keli, fully clean and use it and cook it?
I'm not saying you personally.
If you go like that, then you.
Is it treif?
If you're going like that, then you're getting me out of a job.
Come on, somebody wants to buy supermarket oil. Is he buying treif?
If we would say it's chaz a treif, there's bittel. Normally it's ben yoimai. Normally it's made in a tank which is ben yoimai. They don't clean it up properly. Lama zogin the mamoshes is bottle b'shishim. It's a keli ben yoimai, which I don't know if I'm not a poisek here. So if you have a mistake in the kitchen, you go to your poisek, your rob will get all the heterim together and say, okay, we're not going to throw out your 10 chickens which you cooked for yom tov. It could be. I'm not passing here. Oh, but it's zicha. It's zicha b'di'evet b'di'evet. And it's not that, I think the people here who come in to learn in the morning do not want to b'di'evet b'di'evet. Yeah.
Why don't you say that the 700 degrees kasher everything?
So you're speaking about shamashkim. So as we said at the beginning, are we masking with shamashkim?
To bake kosher chocolate, I know they make one batch without...
Depends who and it depends what. It depends if you call that shamashkim.
Chocolate house, because no chocolate factory wants to close up the factory. So to have chocolate, you have to cash it.
Because you have no other possibility. The shail is how treif was a chocolate beforehand. It was only milchik. Milchik to parowitz. And chocolate is not normally treif. We're talking about milchik or cholavakum to cholav yisrael. It's other heterim. Here we're talking about chazer treif. We're talking about tallow and lard, which is mamish chazer treif. It's the real stuff. We lechatchila, it's zichron not lechatchila to go with shamashkin with chocolate. Chocolate, we're not going to, chocolate is a totally, we can sit here for chocolate for another hour speaking if chocolate is called a liquid and if it's shamashkin in any case, because at the time it gets to room temperature, it's a solid. But that we won't go into detail now. Any more questions?
Nat oil
is the same thing, yeah, it's the same thing. Anything which is refined, hot refined. I'm telling you now, people who are buying some, you don't need to stop. Most companies today have dedicated. As we said, we now kasher two. More and more are stopping doing lard or tallow and lard for chazafat and putting it in dedicated areas or dedicated plants. I'm not telling you what I'm just saying. This has been ma'aseh shehoya. We've had two plants which have chazatreif. And so you can't just say all vegetable oils are kosher. Yeah.
The Muslims are as particular as us, or...
Actually, I tell you, you asked a good question. When we were kashering one of these plants, one of these Cargill plants, they were doing it also for halal, and they came with us. Sometimes they just relied on us. They called us up, okay, if you're there, we agree with you.
Charge them.
I'm sure they charge them. They're not so particular on the cleaning. As long as they see it's okay, they're not so particular. They don't go into.
Unrefined oil in the supermarket.
Pardon?
Is it possible to buy in the supermarket unrefined oil?
I don't think so.
No.
I wouldn't try cooking with it. I wouldn't try even bringing it home to your wife. Yeah. Besides olive oil is unrefined. Most olive oils are unrefined. Then you have no problem. No, there's no mommy plastic. The only problem with pipes is sometimes most companies, they have long pipes, they have one part, a glass, to be able to look through to see if everything's okay, because sometimes they're long pipes, they don't want anything clogged up. So every so often they have a piece of glass instead of a metal, and whether you can catch a glass, so that's ideal for your Rava Poisek when you go make your Heksha.